Welcome to Built in the Bluegrass, a podcast dedicated to cool stuff made in Kentucky. We want to share with you how it was made, why it was made, and the story behind it. And now, here's your host.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Built in the Bluegrass, where we're going to highlight all the awesome things that are made in Kentucky. And today we have a very special guest with us, Ruth Moore, the VP from Aristech Services. She is going to talk a little bit today about their products, you know, their history within the state of Kentucky, why they do what they do, how they do what they do, you know, what makes them unique and special, and why it's a great place to work and be part of the community. So again, I'm Griffin Meredith here today to introduce you to Ruth. Ruth, why don't you just take a couple of minutes and, you know, explain a little bit about your company, who you are, what you do, what makes you tick, et cetera.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. Really happy to be here today to talk about Aristech Services and our long tenured history in Boone County. So a little bit about Aristech Services. Again, we sit in the industrial park here in Northern Kentucky. We have been here for over 50 years. Very proud of that long tenure and of that history and being able to operate in the community and give back to the community. We make acrylic sheet and acrylic solid surface. The acrylic sheet goes into the bath and hot tub markets, and the solid surface is a surfacing countertop material that you would see in commercial applications like a healthcare, hospitality, retail, quick store service, convenience stores, those type of applications. So very much a product that you see and use every day, but not necessarily a branded name that you would recognize. So we provide that sheet to OEMs, to fabricators, to distributors to go and use in their applications, whether that's signage or again, hot tub or bath, which is a very large market for us. But again, we don't market residential, so it's not something that you would recognize the brand names, but very proud of our long tenured heritage here in Boone County.
Great. So, yeah, and that's I think it's important for, you know, we do several of these podcasts and sometimes it comes across as, you know, interesting. Sometimes it comes across as, oh, well, they supply to the supplier. They manufacture for the manufacturer. They create a prototype that does this. So it's not necessarily this sexy end user, but it employs so many people in Kentucky. And without, you know, part of our whole thing is most, you know, part of our little built in bluegrass mantra is people don't understand that most things start as a raw material. And they're built into what you see today. And if it doesn't start the raw material and someone taking from that, you know, then you don't end up with the end user product. So, you know, so that's a way of saying, you know, OEMs are just your end user, the people who are selling it, the original equipment manufacturers that are putting it together, sending it out for usage and you supply to them. But that employs a lot of people in Kentucky. How many employees do you employ in Northern Kentucky?
We have about 225 in our Florence facility.
Okay.
So, and then globally, we also have employees and we also have a small manufacturing facility in New Mexico as well.
Got it. Okay. So you're typically supplying to people who in the end use commercial application as opposed to going to my residence from a surface perspective. And then ultimately the products are going to be, I guess, your fancier hot tub bathtubs more so than, you know, if I buy a regular, you know, clawfoot bathtub or something, I assume that's not necessarily that surface. So yeah, tell us more about the end product. Like, what are people seeing? And then what are the things that you do for that makes you all unique?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So really the biggest portion of our business is the hot tub and bathtub manufacturing and the acrylic sheet that goes into that. It can also go into the swim spas, which were really made a little bit more, I think, visible and popular during the Olympics when Michael Phelps talked a little bit about him using a swim spa at home. Some of our manufacturing process really gives us the capability to provide that sheet due to the size of the sheet that we can make here in Kentucky and the machines that we have that allow for that capability. So we don't manufacture the hot tub here. We just provide the sheet. The sheet goes to, as you said, an OEM who then takes the sheet in particular for a hot tub and says, okay, we're going to thermoform this to be a six-seater or captain seat or a four-seater or a bench seat. And then they actually put it into the finished hot tub. And cool. same for bathtubs as well.
So what are you actually making? So you say you're making a sheet. So dumb that down for us simpletons here. As far as, you know, the seat, the six seater or the eight seater, hot tub, for example, you're not molding it. So you're giving it to them as one big piece of paper, and then they're crafting it around whatever piece they're doing. Like, what part do you give to them, and what part are they ultimately developing for end user usage?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty close. We might have to hire you for your knowledge here. The sheet is actually plastic. It's acrylic. And so it truly is a sheet. And those sheets go on pallets, and then those pallets go to the manufacturer. It could also be provided on a reel, so those sheets can be wound up onto, you know, giant reels that look like giant spools of thread. And so that's what we make, because again, we don't know whether the manufacturer wants to form it into a bench seat or a captain seat or 4-seat or 8-seat. So that goes to the manufacturer of the hot tub or the bathtub. You know, is it an oval? Is it a rectangle? Is it, you know, however, whatever shape. So those are truly sheets of plastic on pallets or on reels, and then they take that and form it into the shape that they need to manufacture the actual end use hot tub or bathtub.
Okay. So explain to me why you all are unique. How come they can't do that themselves? Like, why, if I'm a big enough supplier, if I'm, I don't know what the big name hot tubs are, Jacuzzi or whoever, but I remember hearing that when I was a kid, that a Jacuzzi is a brand and a hot tub is the brand, you know, but whatever it is, like, say you've got a particular, why wouldn't they do it themselves? Like, why do I need you, or why do I need someone to do this for me? Is it just efficiency? Is it your also expertise? Explain, please.
So really, really both. The first is just the footprint. So we have four continuous cast machines. They are football field in length. So you need, you know, quite a space to be able to house these machines. The next is the investment. What really makes this manufacturing process unique is double steel belts. The liquid is poured onto the belt, and then it kind of sandwiches between the two steel belts, and then goes through a series of water baths and then heat, and then comes out on the other end. So you need a pretty large footprint, as well as investment for those multi-million dollar steel belts for you to be able to do this, you know, yourself. And then once you actually have the sheets, you would need warehouse spacing to be able to stack and store and also put on the reels for those sheets. So that's why someone wouldn't typically have this in-house. They would be looking for a supplier to do that.
Understood. And that's what we find most of the time whenever you find someone's like, well, how come you don't do this yourself? It's like, well, it's inefficient. You know, it doesn't make sense for us to be making these. We need to be making our widgets, and we need these suppliers to, just like Ford doesn't produce every bolt that comes, that goes into, you know, their end F-150. Okay. So as far as your basis in Kentucky and the reason for being here and doing business here, can you tell us just the history of why, you know, what culture, you know, typically whenever we're talking with people, we'll find out, you know, there's this unique, or our, the person who started the business, you know, they were really adamant about this, and we had a culture of that, and that's what really made us successful. The reason we've been able to keep people, like, what makes, and, you know, there are cheaper places than Metro Cincinnati. I mean, that's for Kentucky, that's on the higher end of things. So explain to us what it is about Aristech that makes it to where you've kept people, you've been in business for 50 years, and also tell us a little bit about, because I understand you said global footprint, because that's new, correct?
Well, we've always had global employees on the sales side. With the joining up of Trinseo, we now have a much broader, you know, network globally to be able to tap into, from a sales and development and all of the things that sort of a big public company brings to you.
Okay, so just two questions. What is Trinseo? Who are they? What is that? You're bringing that up.
So, and then Trinseo, what is a specialty materials company, publicly traded, based out of Berwyn, Pennsylvania. They just purchased and acquired Aristech in September of 2021. This is really going to be, and has already started to be, just an amazing transition and integration for us. Trinseo really believes in the business. They see this as part of their growth engine. They're going through a transformation right now in the specialty chemicals cycle, and really see that Aristech is a crucial fit to that. So it's a really fun time to have joined into to the Trinseo organization.
Okay, so let's talk about the people then. Are the most of your people presumably moved on with the new business? It's what we hope to see anyway, the merger, sellout, whatever we want to refer to it as. That's not important for this conversation. But go back to the people that you that have made it work, that made it something worth acquiring, that make you what you are today. What is it that makes the company tick? It keeps people coming to work every day.
So I think the first thing that you'll see when you walk into Aristech and you talk to someone, it is really and truly all about the people. I know there's a lot of businesses that say that. And of course, being the VP of HR, I'm very proud to say that. But again, I think anytime you come into the facility and you talk to someone, you actually feel that. And that's the difference, right? We have employees that have been with us for more than 45 years. So our proof is in the numbers. We have a lot of family members. We've had generations of individuals that have worked at Aristech. So not only are we saying it's a good place for people, but it's somewhere that people are bringing their family members and next generations, providing very nice incomes and opportunity, whether that's leadership opportunity or upgrading skills in the facility. So I think employees come here for somewhere to stay, somewhere to feel valued. And that's why we're here too, right? We're really looking at the innovation. That's why we've been able to stay in business for 50 years. We were able to pivot very quickly to stay in business during the pandemic. And you can't do that without a workforce that's willing to help support and help shift and change and adapt to, whatever the critical business needs are at the time.
Okay, so talk about being in Northern Kentucky. It's kind of unfortunate. So when in Louisville, we work across the river. In Southern Kentucky, you see people working, in the Tennessee market. Whenever you have a metropolitan area that gets a lot of its workforce from Ohio, you have a lot of competition for businesses. What has made you all stay on this side of the river? What has made Kentucky the place for you to be, other than just, hey, we've always been here? And, what originally was the idea behind it, and how has that, still been the case today?
Yeah, I think originally, again, over 50 years ago, I think it was the area, it was the industrial park, it was the availability of the land, and then access to transportation to be able to ship our products, the access to the highways and such, since most of it goes out by truck, but also access to rail. So that logistics piece has just continued to be really, critical for us. We do draw most of our workforce from Kentucky, and proud to say that, although we certainly have people that cross the river from Cincinnati. And again, I think what we've seen here is really just the dedication of the workforce. They're a very loyal, hardworking, very high ethics group of employees. And that's the candidate pool from which we draw and fill our positions. Prior to COVID, most of our vacancies were really due to retirement. Of course, we've grown and expanded the business, and we're very blessed to be able to say that after COVID. And so really looking to, add additional people to come join that team. And if they want to stay here for 45 years of their career, this is a place where I can say, not only can you do it, but go talk to so-and-so because they are and have done it.
So we work a lot with the Kentucky Association of Manufacturers. So we use that as a lot of a reference point. It's the trade association for, the widget makers of Kentucky. And, if you go back 17, 18, 19, all of our conversations were getting help, getting help, getting help, getting help. It was hiring, hiring. We wanted to make a hiring packet beautiful. Then you had a couple of years, not even really that, a short period of time where it was about the pandemic. And I'm not saying the pandemic was not important during the times, but in reality, manufacturers got over it in about 6 months, and it was still just getting people to come in. Don't want to paint with a broad stroke, but that was the case. So workforce development is what I'm getting at. And, there is a lot of employers in Northern Kentucky. It does have a pretty good sized population. I'm sure you all get some people from out in the more rural parts of the state. But what are you doing that makes yourself, how do you get employees? What are you, the employees that you need? Because it's not just a warm body. Sometimes it is, but it's usually, we use the term Henry Ford's assembly line. It's not just put the bolt in anymore. You're having to have a certain level of expertise, a certain level of training, computer skills. I often refer to it as making manufacturing cool, because it hasn't been all along. And now it's pretty cool. I mean, the things that people are doing every day. So tell us, what are you doing to get people? How do you make it cool? Why is it cool? Or is it cool?
So I think it's cool. I'm pretty proud of our products. I think it's still very much so that challenge, and probably even more so today, really with the pandemic that probably shifted, the workforce and the workforce demographics more than I've seen in my 30 years of doing this. So the challenge is still finding people. And then I think the next challenge is keeping them. And it's to what you said a little bit about that development and that cool factor. So from a sourcing perspective, you know, I don't know that we do anything, you know, fabulously unique, but just, you know, working with all of our partners at the Kentucky Career Center, working with the partners at the KCTCS individuals. We've tried billboards on highways, you know, everything possible to kind of get the Ayers Tech name out there, because we sit in Boone County, but a lot of people have never heard of us before. So I think from a recruitment, the other thing that we do is once we identify candidates, because we do have entry-level positions, we have a very unique onboarding program that we have created in partnership with our local KCTCS, which is Gateway College in Northern Kentucky. We call it the Ayers Tech Advantage. And it's basically 2 weeks of kind of very hands-on training that we give them that's really foundational. Like, we're talking quality training, safety training, hands-on with power tools, process monitoring, all the things that you really need to kind of understand at a very baseline level before you walk into the facility. And we've really seen that this has given, especially entry-level folks who have no idea about manufacturing, really a leg up when they come into the facility. They have a much better awareness of what to expect. We also talk about shift work. There's really a lifestyle that must be created when you're working shift. And we try to give some pointers around that in this program. And then from a development standpoint, we also have an apprenticeship program in our maintenance area that we have registered with the Commonwealth of Kentucky and also registered with the Department of Labor. So from a development standpoint, really tried to put some very formal programs in addition to all of the other in-house things that we do.
So let me take a step back to where you were mentioning at the beginning. So let's make this you know, something that everybody out there who's maybe looking for a job or is looking to change jobs, make this make sense to me. So I'm already in KCTCS, and then I just say, hey, there's this Ayers Tech program that I want to jump onto. Is that how it works? You know, what is the benefit of that to me? You know, if I'm wanting to go somewhere else, and then, or is it more of you're presenting certain people that have been at your, you know, they've been at your workplace and you're trying to get them from this job to the next job? You know, how do I fit into this and what's the benefit to me? Like, why don't I just chase $1.50 an hour at the Amazon facility down the street and not worry about any of this training about your particular piece of the puzzle?
Mm-hmm. So we actually do it both ways. We've had candidates who have come to us just expressing an interest in joining the Ayers Tech team. And we say, hey, just to give you a better feel for what you're getting yourself into, let's put you through the program, through the Advantage program. We also have had it where we say, okay, we're going to hire you pending your completion of the program. And we've also had where we've hired them just due to timing, and we've let them work in the facility for a week or two and then send them out to the class. The advantage is, pun intended, when they come on board, if they have not already been working for us in the facility, we also pay a $1,500 bonus to them for completing that course, which basically compensates them that for that time for that 2 weeks.
And really, is that giving them skills that they can use elsewhere, or is that pretty much just at your office?
No, it's absolutely foundational to manufacturing, and they come out with their OSHA 10 card. And I know there are some employers in the area who even offer a bonus for someone coming in the door with their OSHA 10 card. So yes, it's absolutely something we hope that they wouldn't take that training and go down the street. But with our opportunities, hopefully they come in and, you know, use it as at Ayers Tech and really use it to kind of springboard their career here.
Got it. So that is then. Ultimately, what we find whenever we're talking to young individuals, you know, when I was coming up through high school, college, it was all about basically professional degrees. You know, it was, you know, if you went military or you went to manufacturing jobs, you know, I grew up in the rural area, so maybe farming. But the idea behind something like this was it wasn't like you were really moving forward. But that hasn't been the case. And I think working with the Kentucky Association of Manufacturers, we've understood when you walk into these plants, this is highly sophisticated stuff. These people are often making lots of money. Don't get me wrong. There's jobs that are just warm bodies, as I mentioned earlier, but very often it is very high level, very, you know, very experienced, necessity-based education. Like, if you don't have everything that is needed to do this, you can't do the job. It's just like a lawyer needs the legal field. So understanding how a lot of this electronics and, you know, the computer pieces and all of the different phases that go along with this. Again, as you mentioned earlier, you're dealing with million-dollar pieces of equipment that are quite high tech. So back to, you know, the products that you make and how it's cool to make it. is, you know, talk about what I would be doing. So I'm sure I come on here. How do I know I'm not just sitting there watching a machine, you know, hammering a nail, whatever it may be? What am I going to be doing? So once I get my training, you know, what cool things am I making? You've mentioned, you know, that hot tubs, et cetera. So I know the end product, but what am I going to be doing on a day-to-day basis? Because it's important to know how I'm going to be advancing just myself, even within the company, or if I decide to go elsewhere.
Sure. So of course, we're speaking now about hourly positions. I just want to mention, we do have a range of professional positions. We have several jobs posted on our website right now, varying from lab technician to technical service staff accountant. I mean, we have a number of professional positions as well. So there's a lot of opportunity just to be able to kind of get in the door and then open that opportunity even further now with the Trinseo acquisition of Aris Tech. But back to the hourly positions, it's difficult to say exactly what you would be doing in an entry-level role because we have multiple entry-level roles. And depending on sort of where you end up in the process, you could end up anywhere. So the very first part of our manufacturing process is a bit more on the chemical plant side. So we have a reactor room, we're mixing chemicals, you're working with, you know, computers, you are, it's very skilled and very hazardous, you know, just due to the chemical nature up there. We do a lot of training to make sure that those individuals are, you know, qualified in those highly skilled roles. And so that's a possibility. As it kind of comes down the line, it turns into a little bit more of kind of material handling. Funny that you mentioned there is actually a role where you get to sit at the head of the machine and watch what we call pouring onto the machine at the head of the casting. But that role is really critical because you're the first set of eyes that's seeing the liquid material get poured onto those multi-million dollar steel belts. And one thing with our process is that it's 300 feet before it comes out on the other end. So if there's a mistake from the time it gets poured, you don't see the oops until you have 300 feet of material back behind you. So that position is really critical for us to be watching and to making sure that, you know, what's getting poured onto the machine is what we thought we wanted to get poured onto the machine. At the end of the machine, it's more true kind of material handling. It's packaging, it's stacking, it's using a forklift. And then we also have an offsite warehouse that has about 8 hourly and 2 salaried employees. And again, very traditional, you know, logistics and material handling and packaging and loading kinds of positions. And then we have everything else between maintenance, utilities. We have a lab facility. We have QA, pigment room. So again, just a lot of different opportunities. And it really is what you said. If someone wants to come in and just have a job, they can just have a job. But if someone wants to come in and have a career, learn more about the process and advance their skills, there's also pay that goes with that. That opportunity is open to them as well. It's really what the employee wants to make of their career at Aris Tech.
Yeah, not to use, I don't remember what the old the adage was about the guy who was laying bricks. They said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm laying bricks." And the other guy said, "Well, I'm building a cathedral." You know, like they're two different people that, you know, had different outlooks on
things. It's a great analogy.
So the idea behind me asking that question is just like, what is this? How is this cool? Everybody, you know, for lack of a better way to put it, everyone right now is hiring. And you know, there's numerous things that are out there. So we like to just highlight businesses that, hey, I'm going to be around for a while. You know, we're making cool stuff. We had a great culture. We've got a great environment. We're something neat that you can be proud of. And that's ultimately what we want to keep in Kentucky. We want to keep good jobs here. We want the people to understand all the things that are made here. There's so many things made in industrial parks every day that we don't understand come from here. Now it is it's not as, you know, if we're talking about, oh, we make the black box for the, you know, the airplanes that, you know, you hear about whenever the plane crashes, you know, that gets attention. Or, you know, the people who are creating the, you know, the individual flying, you know, objects right now that you're going to be able to, you know, be in 5 years, you know, that obviously gets a lot of attention. But these are positions that are making Kentucky tick, that are keeping families fed, that are moving along in the right direction. So we want to just make sure we're doing a job of highlighting those. So anything else you want to share with us that talks about, you know, something being built in your backyard that you wish people knew about your company, or you wish people knew about manufacturing, maybe, or Northern Kentucky, whatever it may be, just something that's interesting that everybody needs to know. This is happening in Kentucky.
Yeah, so I think you mentioned a little bit earlier on this podcast about, you know, there's different perceptions, I think, about manufacturing. This is not the manufacturing of old. It's not dirty. It's not unsafe. You know, there's some really old stereotypes out there, low paying, you know, types of jobs. That is not this. Now, look, I'd be untruthful if I said you don't get dirty in certain roles, just again, depending on the nature of your role. It is physically demanding. It's 12-hour shifts. You're on your feet, especially in those entry-level hourly positions. But I think the trade-off is, again, it's what you want to make of it. We have promoted like 4 or 5 individuals in the last 2 years into leadership positions. Again, we have this maintenance apprenticeship program where we pay for you to go to school. So there's opportunity. And even at the very base entry level, those are very nice wages with benefits first day. And so these individuals can really come in and make a very nice lifestyle out of these roles. And I think, you know, we're really proud about that and to be able to operate in this community. We do a lot of different community outreach, and our presence here in Boone County and Northern Kentucky allows us to be able to partner with a lot of local community initiatives. So, yeah, I think that's the pride. And the pride is knowing where your product goes. So when you're walking into, you know, certain commercial facilities or healthcare or hospitality or restaurants, that you can say to your family, hey, you know, we make that for them. We do share that internally. And so employees know where their product goes. And
so where is your product going? What's the way you explain it at a dinner party if you're explaining something like, hey, this is what I do, without mentioning, you know, anything proprietary, but how do you explain, this is how you know my product?
Yeah, so you know, mostly it just comes from, you know, us kind of sharing who our accounts are with. And so that way, if you are walking into a restaurant that uses, or a quick serve or convenience store, you know who those people are. And same on the bath and hot tub. So, you know, chances are greater than 50%. If you've sat in a bath or hot tub before, you've sat on our material in North America, which is exciting to be able to say. I think people want to have that tangibility to say to their families, hey, this is what mom, dad, sister, aunt, uncle, you know, do for a living.
So if you've sat in a hot tub or a bathtub in North America, there's a 50% chance that it came out of Northern Kentucky, the service that your fanny is sitting on at that point in time. So
that's all right. Correct.
Good deal. Ruth from Aris Tech Services, thank you so much for your time today. Is there any lasting pieces you want to do before we do our sound off? Other than, I know you said you're hiring and that we make cool stuff, but anything else you want us to know about?
No, just thank you so much. And, you know, just a shout out to this program. I think, again, it's important that people understand what the manufacturers of Kentucky are doing and how we add to the Commonwealth. And so really appreciate being able to operate here in the environment in which we operate. So thanks again for highlighting us.
No problem. Glad to do it. Again, everyone, nice chatting with Ruth and all of you today, hopefully out there listening, that Built in the Bluegrass, created to highlight cool stuff made in Kentucky. I'm Griffin Meredith signing off.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Built in the Bluegrass. We hope you're leaving this episode with a better understanding of the cool stuff made in Kentucky. If you haven't done so already, make sure you're subscribed to the show. This way you'll get notified as new episodes become available. Until next time.